Yeah, so today I'm going to talk about a latest non-perductive definition of a chiral fermion gauge theory from topological order. And my name is Juven, if you don't know me yet, and then my office number is 365. That's the number of days of a year, which is easy to remember, okay. And so I hope in the very end of, during my talk, you will realize that what I'm trying to do actually is consider this, define this chiral fermion gauge theory on the latest, actually from a trivial order. So I'll explain this, okay? So maybe let me just go through more briefly. So just make sure, so what I mean by latest just means I wanna put the theory on the discrete latest. So it's not a continuum. And non-productive means that I can understand the theory, not just from a small coupling perturbative calculation, okay? And the definition here means I define or I realize the theory. And a chiral means it breaks parity symmetry. So it's chiral symmetry. It's kind of saying that I can tell the difference between left and right. And you know, like particles, there's a left hand or right hand particles. And that happens in the even dimensional space time. You have a gamma five projection operator to define, for example, Dirac fermion to a two-vial fermion in the massless limit. And in my talk, I will focus on chiral fermions. And then if I have a time, I think maybe leave in the very end, if people have a question, I'll mention something about gauge theory. But I didn't really do anything on gauge theory, okay? And as I mentioned that I motivate this talk by topological order of thinking, but actually in the very end, I hope you realize the way we construct or define this theory is from a trivial order, which means nothing non-trivial in the bulk, okay?
Is there a lattice along time direction?
It's a good question. So we basically have a continuous time in the time dimension, okay? So I just want to convey the two key messages in two pictures. One is that many things that you compute from this one loop diagram, like trying to capture this anomaly, can be realized in the very simple picture in condensed matter, like a quantum Hall state. And the theory that you compute for this one loop diagram can be thinking of as the boundary theory of some higher dimensional bulk. So I will use this kind of picture to illustrate the relation between anomaly and the bulk edge correspondence. Okay, and then I'll talk about the realization of our chiral theory as a boundary of some bulk system. But we emphasize actually this bulk system is a finite width. So in the sense of a finite width, then we can actually claim this is not really a large extra dimension. So effectively, the theory actually just living in the same dimension. And there's also a more popular or more like a renowned result from Ginsburg-Wilson I'll briefly mention is that they realized a chiral theory also on the boundary of some extended bulk. But in their case, if they want to decouple the theory, they need to have a really extra large dimension. And then in our kind of framework of thinking related to condensed matter is that we think that we are putting the non-trivial chiral theory on this trivial SPT. And I remember that Miles asked a question, what's trivial SPT? So that just means trivial insulator, nothing. And then what Ginsburg-Wilson did is actually put in on the non-trivial SPT. So kind of like a topological insulator in the class, in one class, okay?
The boundary theory is topological.
The boundary
theory is the bulk is trivial.
Yeah, bulk. Boundary. So in my case, I consider just the 1+1 the boundary. I think in higher dimension, you might have some non-trivial boundary topological order states. But in my case, I won't go into detail about this. I'll just say the boundary theory will have no topological order.
Yeah.
Gablis. So the idea we want to do is that we construct two theory, this co-Miro sector, Miro theory. This is the theory we aim for. We add in some interaction terms to Gabli H. And the leftover one here is the chiral theory we aim for. Please.
You made the point about the trivial system being finite.
Mm-hmm.
Is it saying it has to be finite or just it can be finite?
It can be finite. Finite just good for doing numerics, right?
So there's nothing bad about it being bigger.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But finite is just what we want. We want to have the theory live on the same dimension. You can imagine this is just like a one lattice size. So it's actually just the same dimension. Okay? So the talk is based on mostly the work by Xiaogang and also two works I work with Xiaogang. So the first one is about defining the chiral meta theory. We propose a way to do this in 1 plus 1D. And then Xiaogang has more general thinking now, thinking about this in chiral gauge theory and also SO10 model, realize a certain modified standard model. And then there's also a relation Xiaogang thinking about the gauge anomalies can probe SPD and then vice versa. And the last thing is some of the result we obtain from the gap boundary system, we can compute the degeneracy. There will be a key kind of a check to see our result is a rigorous setup. And then acknowledging discussion with Xiaogang, Yang Wen, and Luis Peng. And then also we have some kind of thinking with DMRG. I ask Lucas and Giffrey and then Roger. So I'll give a motivation question first, and then secondly, I'll go to the relation between anomaly and quantum Hall physics, and then I will go on to define, that's the main part of my talk. I'll talk about how to define a chiral fermion theory or chiral matter theory in general on 1 plus 1D, and we can do a non-perturbative definition. And the key message actually is I want to relate anomaly matching conditions as the rule equivalent to this boundary fully gapping rules. And I will give two explicit models. One is called 1 and minus 1. That's the U1 charge. And the other one model is 3540 model. And I will provide a general scheme to define this model. And then after this main part of my talk, I think I will skip the gauge theory part. So I will go on to talk about the relation between anomaly and topological order. And this part of things, maybe most people in condensed matter will be familiar. Like I will just briefly mention SPT and then intrinsic topological order and how to relate SPT to gauge anomaly and then some idea about gravitational anomaly from intrinsic topological order and make a summary. Okay. So the motivation question is that the parity violation is known in standard model and it's due to the work by Li and Yang and Wu in 1957 around that time and also people following this work is that the standard model contains a chiral fermion gauge theory in the weak sector. And we know how to define this theory in the perturbative Lagrangian. We know how to write it down. But there's a problem. Okay, parity violates chiral symmetry, as I say. And we can write down the Lagrangian, for example. So consider just fermion field coupled to some boson, gauge boson like W or Z. Then we can do a parity transformation or checking. Do this charge conjugate transformation, or maybe CP transformation. So the situation is that the weak sector basically break P and C, okay? And the case is that if the coupling is real, even if it's real, it breaks, already violates P parity and the charge conjugate, and it will break CP together if the coupling is complex. And that's the case that in standard model, we actually have a CP small violation in a weak sector. And that's the things we already know how to write these theories in the Lagrangian form. So this form is basically what I call a perturbative definition. So however, we do not know if there is a non-perturbative way to define a non-abelian chiral gauge theory. So this is a long-standing challenge in high-energy lattice. But I want to make a side remark. Some people might ask that because weak interaction is actually kind of a weak coupling. So we don't really need to do a non-perturbative definition. But this is like a more like a theoretical side of motivation. Say, why can we, if we it's a quantum Hamiltonian system, we should be able to write down the system on the lattice and then do the simulation, regardless the real world is a small coupling or large coupling. But this is just the theoretical side of motivation. But in this talk, I will give a latest realization of these chiral fermions, the gauge theory. And then the way we will discuss is the Hamiltonian quantum theory with a finite dimensional Hilbert space and a finite space volume and a continuous time, okay? So again, this is the motivation. I want to have an input that I want to answer two questions. One is that how do I realize the quantum anomaly or anomaly matching conditions from the kind of thinking from condensed matter, like so-called the bulk edge correspondence. So there's a bulk state and there's the corresponding edge states. And then how do we define a chiral fermion gauge theory non-putative on the lattice? So let me just briefly mention that the challenge for define a chiral fermion theory on the lattice is so-called fermion doubling problem, Nielsen-Neomeyer theorem. So the statement we slightly rephrase in terms of so-called local free chiral fermions on the lattice, if we try to put the system on the lattice with some local symmetry or unsigned symmetry, in our terms, have a fermion doubling problem in even dimensional space-time. Okay, so let me just say a few words. Even dimensional space-time, because we need to define the projection operator, so-called is PL and PR. The projection operator will define, let me just write it down. So that gamma 5 happens in even dimensional space-time. So that's what the specific meaning for even dimensional space-time. And the unsigned symmetry here is the term that we use in condensed matter, which means that if we write down a symmetry transformation U over G, G is the group elements we consider, then we can return this in terms of a tensor product structure on each side. So I is the site. And this will be a symmetry transformation on each side. And then there can be a tensor product on each side. So if you recall what you learned from most things in the case that you deal with in the field theory, actually most of the things people do is just the unsigned symmetry transformation. So let me give two examples. One is this one. So this one will be a unsigned symmetry transformation. Because I can what this means is that I input two states, say two sites, and then output two states. I transform these two states to the two other states, so 0,0 to 0,0, 0,1 to 0,1. But the 1,1 and the 1,0 states will change the sign, although it's the same state. So we can write these states as the tensor product structure. So what this means is that I can write this. So I can write this symmetry transformation as a tensor product structure. But there's a non-unsigned symmetry transformation, for example, it's like a CZ operator. So this one, basically, you cannot try to write this symmetry transformation X on each side and then tensor product them. So that's the thing. So the statement I want to make is that rephrase what Nielsen-Neomeyer did in their theory, actually, the specific type of symmetry transformation, the chiral symmetry they realized actually is the unsigned type, okay? And that turns out that if we contain the information of a local theory and then free from interaction for this chiral theory, basically there is a fermion doubler, okay? So it means that if I define a chiral fermion on the lattice, I will have a kind of a dual image, another chiral fermion.
Does it also arise in the case with all-dimensional space-time is a quantum?
Then you just consider then the boundary as an even-dimensional space-time, maybe, I think. Yeah, I'm just focused on the even-dimensional space-time. That will be the case, actually, I consider if I put a system on the boundary. Yeah. So there's an even more harder challenge in chiral gauge theory, and people attempt to do this. So then the thing here I want to mention is long-standing challenge in this is just a summary of what I say, basically. Just say chiral fermion, chiral gauge theory is basically a long-standing problem. So what people have done earlier is basically Ginsburg-Wilson has an approach. They basically slightly modify the symmetry transformation in our way of thinking. So what I mean is that they can avoid this fermion doubling problem by considering non-unsized symmetry transformation. So let me try to rephrase why we think in this way. So this is just a slide, may have some information, but I just want to convey that how we think this is a non-unsized symmetry transformation. So the way they consider is that the Ginsburg-Wilson impose the condition for this Dirac operator and also chiral transformation gamma 5 with it's a non-trivial anti-commutation relation. So what they want to do is that they redefine the chiral symmetry in this way. The explicit statement is the following. They write down the fermion Lagrangian on a space-time lattice in this way. And the property for this Dirac operator basically is not really strictly localized on one side. What they have is basically there are some kind of a correlation between the fermion fields x and y. So the explicit statement is that if I write down the U1 chiral transformation, so the usual gamma 5 transformation in the infinitesimal limit basically is that the following. So one can transform the psi field, usually it's just I alpha gamma 5 psi, but they have an extra term. So they modify the chiral transformation. And then there's the conjugate term psi bar basically transformed via this way. So our statement is the following. This term basically contain some kind of a non-local or non-unsigned information. Okay, please. Yes, so this depends on this explicit definition of a local. So what Anusha says is that this is exponential decay. So in a really far region, basically, it's just as good as local. But the situation I want to mention, I want to motivate is that if you go back to this one, it's like this operator, like a non-unsigned operator, you contain the information between the two neighbor sites. It's like this minus sign x on one state will affect only when you know the both information on both sides. So this is the similar kind of things for the.
I understand, but yeah. I'm saying why is on-site so special? Why?
Yeah, so the thing, like okay, good. So so the situation is that in SPT states, for example, consider some 2D bulk SPT states. So we know there's some non-trivial edge states on the boundary in 1 plus 1D. So the situation is that those edge states realize the symmetry by a non-unsigned way. So that's the way we realize, basically. And the usual case, like if it's not symmetry protective states, then the bulk states may have also edge states, like even consider a trivial insulator in the bulk, I still can have some edge states. But those edge states not protected. And those edge states actually is just the realized unsigned symmetry. So put in the condensed matter sense, actually, I'm trying to say the SPD states connects to this kind of thinking, say, realize the boundary states by a non-unsigned kind of manner. So is it people following at this stage? Okay, so let me just go on. So I just say that this kind of symmetry transformation, you cannot return as the tensor product structure, basically. So this is the way kind of, it's a very simple picture that we see how the Ginsburg-Wilson basically is the realized some kind of extra bulk as a, like a SPD, basically. So I just threw some information, say Ginsburg-Wilson has a way to deal with, and the way we realize is they actually consider non-unsigned symmetry transformation. I think this idea should be pretty clear. Maybe one can do some more math, but the idea is this. And then there are some descendant of using Ginsburg-Wilson. I just want to comment that there are some problem or there are some challenging when they try to gauge the theory. So the statement is that domain wall, there's also an approach called domain wall. And the situation is that they need to have an extra large bulk dimension. And the gauge fields will propagate in the extra dimension.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah. So it's a good idea. I skipped that one, but let me just, I have a slide. Yeah, so this detail, basically what the wheel says is that what actually Ginsburg-Wilson do is actually they add one extra term. In the continuum limit, so the situation is that this term is like the usual terms when one write down the action. Okay, for like a Dirac, 3+1 dimension. So the Ginsburg-Wilson needed to have extra terms. So this is situations that if you compute the fermion propagator without this term, say r equal to 0, then you will find out there are two poles, two massless particle, two poles, like unshared one, at a k equal to 0 and k equal to pi, if m is 0 anyway. But yeah, what I'm saying is that there is basically two duplicate pair of fermion doublers at the 0 and pi. Pi is just like the doubler for the 0, k equals 0 and k equals pi. So what Ginsburg-Wilson really did is actually adding this term. So this term will leave up the
difference is
that the difference is that this term will leave up the doubler at the k equal to pi. That's the statement you want to know why. The new term is just
just like the one above.
No.
You're missing a
gamma. Yeah, the new term has no gamma. Yeah, the rough idea is that they have some way to add extra terms and then to deal with the doublers. But the symmetry transformation need to be modified. Yeah.
Could you make clear how do you see
the doubler? Yeah, I already explained actually. I just say the doubler is at the k equal to 0 and the k equal to pi. So you can compute.
So that is for
Before you add this term.
Okay,
and this term will leave the doubler at the k equal to pi one. But this is kind of information learned from a book or Ginsburg-Wilson's approach. The non-onside is the case that, let me just need to go back. What's your question again?
So why is the non-onside half of the second term? It seems like that one looks pretty similar to the first one.
Yeah. Well, the term basically say, let me just make sure. Just say that let me go to this one. Yeah, what I want to say is just say the point is the symmetry transformation contains this dxy. So I don't want to show that slide again, just say that when you write down the fermion fields, this term basically contains not exactly on the same side of a fermion. That's all. I mean, the point is that you can see the relation between the previous non-onside one and then this one. They have the similar kind of form. Of course, there are more details if you want to dig in, there might be some more works to do, but you can see this is non-onside. The symmetry transformation, as I say, this is like a I gamma 5 transformation in the infinitesimal limit. You contain this part, which you need to have the information at y and w to do the symmetry transformation. That's how, yeah, you can check. Yeah, let me go on. So domain 1 and overlap fermion are descendant. They have a problem, basically. They have a so the gauge field propagating one extra dimension for the domain wall case, and overlap fermion basically, the dimension of a Hilbert space may not be finite, even I put the system on a finite size cylinder or space time. So there are some challenge basically. Okay. Huh? Huh? Yes. No, but at the finite. Well, I don't consider just gauge field alone. I consider fermion theory. Consider fermion theory put on the finite cylinder, And then put on lattice. It's on lattice, actually. It should be finite dimensional. K-space is pure, you know, constrained between.
That's fine. It's space-time. Internal symmetry can have an independent-dimensional
order. No, but I say just chiral fermion. Okay. Just fermion field. Put on the cylinder, for example, and discretize the cylinder. It's finite dimensional. You can write down matrix. It's finite dimensional. And then there's also an approach similar to what we are doing. It's mirror fermion approach. And as I will explain, that the chiral fermion couple the gauge theory of all this chiral conjugate mirror sector, and then we include this proper interaction to gap the mirror sector. And then there are some works people done actually, but they haven't demonstrated this work. So our approach basically similar, but let me just explain what explicitly we are doing. As I said, this is just key message. I want to show you anomaly matrix related to boundary fully gapping rules. And also I want to show that we can just include the strong proper interactions to gap the mirror sectors. Okay, so we have a chiral theory on the other edge. Is it okay? So this is just the key message. So I'm going to the second part. So the basic idea is kind of interesting that we can realize the anomaly, for example, in 1 plus 1D. There's a like 1 plus 1D fermion interact with a QED, like a electromagnetism. Then the situation is that in 1 plus 1D, we have a left moving mode and right moving modes. If we consider the so-called vector currents to be conserved, which means the left moving plus right moving total currents conserved, then actually there's a non-conservation in the actual current. And the actual current is the left moving modes minus right moving modes. And the difference is basically related to the field stress. And the way emphasized by Professor Jakif is that this Dirac C connects the two sectors. And also a nice discussion with Luis is that the left moving modes will be a drag into right moving or vice versa, depends on the flux, this flux. So let me just, this is like how people understand in particle physics. But we have a very good way of thinking about this in condensed matter. So the situation is that we can use quantum Hall states, for example, and there's a topological order in quantum Hall states. The situation is that we can describe this the theory that I just mentioned, 1 plus 1D, living on the boundary of some, for example, a 2 plus 1D bulk. And then we describe this bulk theory by, for example, some quantum Hall states, some Trans-Simon theory, an Abelian one. We can compute the current terms on the boundary on either side. So this little b on the current means the boundary current. And we compute the current divergence, this partial j, we'll figure out this boundary current will be not conserved up to this field stress again. And it's like basically compute explicitly will be like a whole conductance multiplied by electric field. And then if I consider there's an extra bulk, then what's going on is basically we can thinking about this field stress term, which has this electric field. It's like you insert the magnetic flux through this system of a cylinder, and then it induces the electric field in a perpendicular direction wider around the cylinder. And these electric fields along x direction will drag the current along y direction through the bulks. And then the bulk current will flow, go to the boundary. So what we are doing actually is realize the ABJU1 anomaly in the previous slides of this J left and J right in terms of this boundary currents of quantum Hall states. And then of course we can write explicitly and then doing some works about fermionization or bosonization. Actually this story is pretty consistent. What we will see is that if we add up the currents, the left current, say, from this edge and right currents for this edge, we consider this 1 plus 1D of this theory on its own. Basically, the vector currents will be conserved again. As you see, these currents add up together will be zero. The non-conservation part is this actual current, which is the difference between left and right. And that current will equal to this field stress. So that's a very consistent picture to thinking about the magnetic flux induce the electric field, drag the bulk current, and then the boundary current will flow to compensate. And that's how the anomaly anomalous picture in this 1 plus 1 DQED can be realized in a simple condensed matter manner. So this picture is pretty important, is that if we relate this kind of thinking, we can think about anomaly-free theory means that there's no current non-conservation on the boundary. So which means current is conserved on its own, on its boundary. So this means that if we try to use the kind of a whole conductance or whole quantum Hall physics, then it implies that we need to have a constraint, the whole conductance is zero. By saying whole conductance is zero, actually, in the language of 1 plus 1D with the U1 symmetry, one can compute the whole conductance explicitly just QL squared minus QR squared. And that's exactly the anomaly matching in 1 plus 1D. So this is a very simple picture that you can think in how to relate the high-energy particle physics anomaly to a quantum Hall space, and how to relate the effective whole conductance into the anomaly matching factor. Yes, so that will be the next story I'm going to say. So I'm down for two. So that's the main part of my talk. I'm going to talk about how to define the chiral fermion theory on the boundary, as I want to do. So the general idea is that we construct a theory as a boundary theory of an extended bulk cylinder or bulk finite width lattice. And there are two boundaries. And then there's the sector we aim for, and then the mirror sector. We want to gap out the mirror sector by adding the proper interactions. And what I mean by gap out is just open the mass gap. Every gapless edge state obtain mass. So the thinking that it can just go like a traffic flows, there's a one way, like a chiral theory, purely chiral. And there's basically like two ways. And we are trying to ask how to stop the traffic, how to aid in what kind of interaction to stop the traffic. So we should kind of think about this in a very general way. How do we do this? So sometimes you will see there's a car just moving in the opposite direction of the traffic. But apparently, this doesn't really can stop the traffic flow, right? But if you consider just a tiny effect, maybe something like this can stop the traffic. So who knows? It's like impurity, maybe. So there's also a more crazy way, just break the bridge. So there are many ways. But the analogy really works pretty well. The analogy works really well is that if we really want to stop the traffic, you can think in you have an equal number of lanes. And it's like an equal number of left and right moving modes. It's the first principle. It's like the second one is like the total momentum need to be zero. And in our quantum system, it's actually like quantum fluctuation or Ahrensohn bound phase is zero. I'll explain. The other thing is like a gaping terms. So let me be explicit. And you will say if I have an equal number of left and right moving modes, then where's the chirality? Then the chirality is from the charge breaks the charge assignment breaks the parity or even time reversal. But the point is chirality is basically just breaks parity. So we need to assign charge in a very spatial way to break the parity. Okay, I'm done for
so
yes. Boundary. Yeah, boundary is gap. Boundary is not SPT. Boundary is just some gapless edge states. Actually, what we are talking about, whether it's SPT or not, is thinking about the bulk. So the theory cares on the boundary, but what we are saying, whether it's SPT, is in the bulk side.
So
The boundary is trivial, and the bulk is also trivial. But that's the end of the story I will mention. So let me just illustrate this annihilation again. Then we can explicitly write down, for abelian theory, we can write down a pretty generic transignment theory that describes a lots of class of abelian SPT states. And then it has this kind of a K matrix form. So, and the edge states basically is a chiral boson theory. In general, it will be West Trumino Witten if it's different kind of symmetry group, non-abelian, SUN. But in our case, we'll just be chiral boson theory. The anomaly matching condition, as I mentioned, is that if I consider the K matrix in the fermion theory, it's like a 1 minus 1, 1 minus 1. And this 1 minus 1 theory will produce the right fermion statistics. You can check these statistics. And if I consider the effective whole conductance for this theory, I'll find out this is exactly this from QK inverse Q, and you will see this 1 minus 1 will give QL squared minus QR squared. And then next, what's boundary gapping rules? As I say, you need to have an equal number of left and right moving modes. And you need to have n equal n over 2 number of gapping terms. And what we want to have actually is that we want to have a kind of a stabilized gapping terms on the boundary. And those terms stabilized means that you don't have quantum fluctuations. And without quantum fluctuation, just means that there is no Ahorn or Bohm phase. So Ahorn or Bohm phase actually is zero in our kind of setting. And one can compute from just compute this integrate out the little a term to see the effective interactions between this the anions or the Wilson line in high energy physics is basically give LK inverse L. And we impose finding out n over 2 this set of gapping terms or the Wilson lines obey this rule, basically. So I'm trying to say, OK, there's an anomaly matching condition in the previous line and then boundary fully gapping rule in this line. And it turns out that the anomaly matching and boundary fully gapping rules, they are equivalent, which means I can use this one. If this is true, this will be true. And if this a boundary can be gapped, then the anomaly must be free. Okay, but I will skip the proof. So the thinking is that the U1 anomaly matching condition, actually we just proved the U1 case, will be equivalent to the boundary fully gapping rule in this 1 plus 1D boundary or 2 plus 1D bulk. Okay, so, the way of this thinking actually say something, it's kind of slight change the rephrase this, is saying that in general, we don't really know, at least I talked to Xiaogang, is that we feel like maybe we don't really know, given any arbitrary theory, how to check whether this theory is free from all anomaly. But we can thinking about this definition of anomaly matching can be viewed as whether if this theory can put on a boundary and whether this theory can be fully gapped, the edge state can be gapped by aiding interactions. So what I mean is that whether you can open the mass gap for that theory by aiding interactions. So if we thinking this by this kind of statement, then it implies that actually for the U1 theory, as we just discussed, basically the only anomaly type will just be ABJ U1 anomaly, and that's the only one we check, because we find these two are consistent. So this is just to rephrase the statement a bit. And I'm done for this. Let me just go to the first model, and once this is done, everything will be clear. The most simple case, if I just consider chiral fermion, say charge 1, and then there's a mirror sector, then the theory on this edge A can be written as this Lagrangian. But this theory is anomalous. 1 squared minus 0 squared is 0, and boundary cannot be gapped. So actually, in our approach, we cannot put this on lattice. And this is the same as what this fermion doubling theorem says. But I want to make a remark. Actually, for the Ginsburg-Wilson approach, they can put this on lattice. And the Ginsburg-Wilson approach, as I say, they can deal with the non-trivial bulk SBT, so they have a non-trivial edge state. But in our approach, we cannot. But let's go to the next example, which is really anomaly-free. And we can only deal with anomaly-free case. So the idea is this is anomaly-free. We consider charge 1 and charge minus 1, one left moving, one right moving, and then this mirror sector. We find out the anomaly matching on the edge sector, on the edge, one edge, basically is 1 squared minus 1 squared. Again, it's 0. It's 0, basically. So in our case, we should be able to show this boundary can be gapped. Okay, so let's try to figure out how to do this. So the thinking is that we can again motivate by the bulk theory, by a Trans-Simon theory, and describe the right boundary theory, and that can be a chiral boson theory. But we are talking about a chiral fermion theory actually, and the thing is in 1D, 1 plus 1D, fermion and boson can be fermionized, bosonized. So it doesn't really matter. I'll go back to fermion afterward, but let me just write down the fermion case. The gapping term we really mean here is actually, as we say, it's a kind of anion Wilson line operator need to satisfy LK inverse L0. And the specific form is that this will be described by two modes of K matrix. And then the charge assignment is 1 minus 1. We just need to find some interaction terms, so-called gapping terms, to gap the mirror edge. And this will be the right one to satisfy all the conditions. So which means if we add these interaction terms on this edge only, we should be able to open the mass gap for all the modes on this edge. So the leftover this theory will be chiral theory we want. So this is the most simple model. And if we formalize that theory, what we mean, we want to achieve this theory. And then this is the boson version. And the fermion version, again, we can formalize the interaction from this cosine term to this just the fermion-fermion interaction terms. And the way we want to construct is that we want to describe a quantum Hamiltonian theory. So the thinking is that we produce this free path as the some Hamiltonian theory carries chiral edge states. And then we have interaction terms. The interaction terms basically just try to put this fermion field on the lattice. Let me just say something about free path first. This is our model. So, yes?
So they are both right motor and left motor.
Yes.
So in what sense is
chiral? Oh, so the charge will be, that's the question, very good question. So the chirality comes from the charge 1 and minus 1. That's so basically. Say that the charge will be, the charge will be basically, you know, yeah.
So in order to get out the other edge,
yes.
Do you need to break that symmetry?
Oh, that's a good question. So we don't break that symmetry. So that's the key. We don't break the symmetry. The interaction term doesn't break symmetry. So you can think it that the boundary also carries the same U1 charge.
It's
basically a psi term. I think I don't know how to call this term. Basically, it's the two fermion interacts. It's like a mass term, actually. If you do Bogolubo transformation, it will just be a mass term. But this just be the right term. So let me just say something is that that theory doesn't really look like a chiral if I just looking into this Lagrangian. But the key is that if I add these interaction terms, this will break two copy of U1 down to one U1. And that U1 is the U1 we want. And whether this interaction has what kind of form, we don't care, we just write it down, basically. But there are some subtleties I will mention later. Yeah. The statement is that the free path basically can use Chern insulator. That's just some works, for example, done by Louise and Evelyn. Basically, you consider using complex hopping terms to construct this fermions hopping on a discretized lattice. And you will find out actually there's explicit gapless edge states on the boundary. And that's so-called the flat band if you fine-tune the coupling. And you can see in the Brinton zone, basically, there's a non-trivial trend number. It's a topological invariant. And that trend number will be, in our theory, for example, if it's a charge 1 minus 1 and then have an opposite chirality, then the trend number will be opposite, will be 1 and minus 1. And the gapless edge states basically is this one. And we can just choose a chemical potential such that it's like a half filling, and then this point will be the Dirac point we want. So this is a free path theory, which is not too amazing. But the thing is that we can fine tune even just for this, you know, just for a very small size of a cylinder. Actually, we can achieve a model such that the density is well distributed. They kind of just decouple the two edge. So what I'm saying is that this is like a left moving modes. And this is like right moving modes. And they are just the left moving modes and right moving modes basically they just occupy on each edge separately. That's what I want to say. This is one copy of a Chern insulator. And what we need to do is for 1 minus 1, we just have a 2 copy of a Chern insulator and then with the opposite Chern number. And now it's the thing, we just added these gapping terms. And this PTS means point split. In the case of a one fermion, this is just the usual case, just add this fermion term. But you will see this is actually very funny. It's very simple because this is just a quadratic interactions. So if I just enlarge the Hilbert, enlarge the Hamiltonian, and then write down BDG, Bogolubo, Dirac equations, then I can just do the usual trick in BCS. I can find the right basis to diagonalize. In that sense, this is exact solvable, and which is true, actually, we did just a simple case that if we tune a couple in larger enough, and then we will see the density on the mirror sector will go below the numerical precisionacy, which means just gapless. Gap. There's no density on the mirror sector. So, you know, in this case, we can actually check that you can gap out the mirror sector. But I think Sunset was mentioned, this kind of thing is that so 1-1 chiral fermion is not exactly chiral theory, because if I can do just a theory definition by this fermion field with charge 1, go to the same fermion field, but -1 consider assigned to this psi dagger, but also carry charge 1, then this 1-1 chiral theory will become 1-1 non-chiral theory. So this theory actually is not truly a chiral theory, because this can just by doing theory definition, you find actually this theory is a non-chiral. They are just the left moving carry the same charge as the right moving as a charge 1. So let me just go to the really non-trivial example. It's the first, the most simple example to be non-trivial is 3540. And why this 3540 is an anomaly-free theory? So we just write down this action on this HA, and this will just be this kind of a four copies of vial actions. And this is anomaly free based on the reason you learned from elementary school. Basically, it's just maybe in kindergarten for Jacob, 3 squared minus 5 squared plus 4 squared is 0 is a Pythagoras rule. So this is an anomaly-free matching condition. That's the most simple theory for the next non-trivial one. Okay, and then we again try to find the gaping term satisfy the AB phase will be 0. So we can find exactly two terms. And those two terms doesn't break the symmetry. If you consider L dot Q, that's just the symmetry transformation on the interaction terms. L dot Q will be 0. L1 dot Q is 0. L2 dot Q is also 0. So this will actually gap the mirror sector and does not break the U1 symmetry. And now the thing is, we just do the same thing. We make a four copies of the theory and then carry turn number 1-1, 1-1. The interaction terms will become more complicated. There will be a higher power of interactions. And then we need to do point split. So the numerical result will be challenging. We are trying to find some creative DMRG person to fill in. And then I don't know whether any of you have a Miles or Lucas. We need to have someone really powerful to do this work.
They have two edges, right?
Yes, two
edges. But it doesn't break the U1 symmetry on one of
them. On both edges. No, interaction also doesn't break symmetry.
But what's your symmetry? Symmetry is U1 cross U1 or just U1?
So original symmetry will be U1 times U1 times U1 times U1, four copy of U1.
Yeah.
And the interaction actually will break the symmetry to,
yeah. So
hopefully to 1U1 symmetry, but actually the two gapping term will break to U1 squared.
Yeah, so you still break U1
symmetry. No, there's still left over 1U1.
Yeah, but you break the original
No.
Symmetry.
The 3540 just need 1U1 symmetry. That's the U1 symmetry we need. The 3540 just doing the U1 symmetry, right? I can write it down. Yeah, just psi 3, go to EI 3, psi 3, and then etc. psi 4, EI 4, theta psi 4. So in general, psi Q, that's the only U1 for this charge Q.
The Q is the U1
symmetry, the charge of U1 symmetry. So we just need one U1, and then originally there's a 4U1. The interaction will break this U1 symmetry down to 1U1.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yes, so that's the U1 we need. So we didn't break the necessary symmetry we need. The chiral theory we need for this 3540, just 1U1, and we didn't break that symmetry.
So you said that the 1-1 is trivial,
whereas
this is like...
Also, one copy will be non-trivial, but four copy together is trivial.
So my point was you cannot gap the entire, all the edges.
Yes.
Without breaking the entire U1 symmetry.
Well, no. The point is, we just need one U1.
Four copies of U1.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. The point is, there is just only one U1. What's the symmetry for 3.5.0? Less theory, just one U1 symmetry.
It's just total
random. Yeah, that's a fermion number symmetry.
Yeah,
anyway, there is no problem for this. Yeah, no problem.
No, but like, what is a truly non-trivial chiral? Like, you call it 1 minus 1.
Yes.
By doing this transformation,
yes.
It's not actually chiral, it just looks like
1, 1. Theory. Yes. Oh, so, for example, like this theory, even you do any kind of theory definition, this is still a chiral theory.
How do you what's the quantity I'm supposed to compute to know?
Maybe there's some non-local transformation.
Yeah, I don't know how to do this, but it's obvious to me 3.5.0 is not the case. 1 and minus 1 is just a theory definition.
I mean, you don't have to do it, it's obvious.
Yeah,
I mean,
if you
borderline,
yes.
It's like then find some basis, maybe you can maybe, but that requires non-local.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I would just say I don't have a deep way to think about this, but this U1 charge assignment doesn't seem like you are easily can redefine this theory and then make this theory to be a non-chiral. You need to reassign this charge in a proper way. And maybe, as Sansei said, maybe using the boson language might be easier.
But if there is a non-local transformation, then maps this into non-chiral.
Yes.
Then somehow it's related to the original idea where symmetry acts.
Yeah. Actually, I think in our case, both for fermion and the boson, everything will be still unsigned way. I think if I write a theory in terms of I didn't write this here, but for you, for example, I can just rewrite this theory in terms of a fermion and boson. The symmetry transformation actually is still all on-site, just local transformation. And the case for boson will just be so this will be a fermion case. The case for boson will just be phi Q go to phi Q plus charge Q and then delta theta. And of course, maybe just write theta. So it's basically still unsigned way. Although I think probably in fermionization, bosonization, they might evolve with a non-local kind of property. But for the symmetry transformation for this type, I think it's still unsigned.
Yeah. Basis,
yes.
What I'm saying is that if you find non-local transformation, which maps the same theory, seemingly non-current theory, then in that basis, probably the symmetry acts in a very non-local.
Then you are saying that whether I can change some on-site symmetry transformation of a certain system to another system with a non-trivial bulk. I'm not sure where this works actually. Because I think at least right now I'm saying that this theory all has an on-site symmetry. But whether you can redefine the theory in a way such that the age theory will be non-chiral but the symmetry realized non-on-site way, I don't know. But this seems like I try to find some, kind of a relation between some trivial bulk to a non-trivial bulk. I don't know whether this will be a sensible statement. But let me just go on, I think. I don't know. So I'm almost done. Say, the step one, we really do the general construction. We're just thinking about, try to describe some theory in the bulk. This can be trivial or non-trivial, but all can written as some transignment abelian case in the U1 symmetry case. Let's focus on U1 symmetry. And we added some gaping terms on the edge B. I didn't write it. Anyway, say this will be the free part. This will be interaction part, cosine term. And then we try to ask the anomaly matching condition needs to be true. And then in general, all kind of anomaly must be vanished. That's the thinking. And then for the chiral theory, just break parity. So there are some way the charge assignment break parity. And the anomaly matching was just equivalent to boundary fully gapping rule as we prove in the U1 case. So just apply fermion bosonization. You will find out AD in the gapping term should be able to gap the mirror sector. And then once there's a Hamiltonian like this, we can do calculation to all energy scale up to lattice constant 1 over A energy scale. So the small statement is we ask do not break the symmetry. So the two step is that the interaction does not break symmetry. And the next thing is that the ground states with a gap boundary on one edge shouldn't break the symmetry. So we should check the boundary, so-called degeneracy with a gap boundary does not break the symmetry. And I think we did this. And there are some subtle statements. I think Edwin was mentioned, say whether the edge states might have a non-trivial topological order. In the case of 1 plus 1D, that doesn't happen. And what we check actually is no ground state degeneracy. Is no symmetry breaking. And in higher dimension, there are some tricky things. No symmetry breaking, maybe there's still degeneracy from topological order. But we just have this case, no ground state degeneracy, and no symmetry breaking. And just say the degeneracy means that the topological degeneracy means that you put the states on a non-trivial manifold, then the degeneracy depends on the topology, like the genus number. And that's for the bulk degeneracy. And the case we check is the gap boundary case. And of course, the gap boundary case doesn't mean we just check the degeneracy on the boundary. And that means actually we check the degeneracy on the whole wave function because the system is connected together. So boundary degeneracy is just a name for this kind of a manifold. And again, I'm summarizing that the two key questions I say, I want to relate anomaly to bulk edge correspondence. And I want to realize the chiral theory, chiral fermion gauge theory non-productively. And this is a challenge. But the key message, as we say, is that we can relay anomaly matching to the, if we put this theory on the boundary, whether we can open the mass gap for all that theory, to open the mass gap for all the gapless edge states. And then we can define the chiral theory if we include the strong interactions. So let's see. That's the thing. And right now, we think that we get rid of this fermion doubling challenge by consider, instead of a non-unsigned symmetry like Ginsburg-Wilson, actually, we just include interactions. So we modify these three conditions to interacting. And then the Ginsburg-Wilson is like the bulk non-trivial SPT. Our approach will be trivial insulator. So this GW fermion basically should have some anomalies on the boundary. But our case should forbidden any anomalies on the boundary again. And then H has non-unsigned for GW fermion. H is unsigned for our case. And there's also some kind of a fine remark, but I just make is that the GW fermion, actually they discretize Lagrangian on a space-time lattice, but our approach is really, really different. So there's some kind of a challenge. We try to kind of persuade the lattice community. Actually, what we are doing is a quantum Hamiltonian theory on a continuous space-time. So the approach is different. It's really different. And there's also a fermion doubling kind of thinking, say, how many doublers we really have. I think if you really discretize the space-time lattice, you will get more doubler. On each edge, say you discretize the space-time lattice and it discretize the Lagrangian on the space-time lattice, sorry, to be precise, then there will be 2 to the d fermions on each edge. But in our case, I think our doubler is just the gapless edge states on the mirror sector. So if they are n modes, we only have a 2n. So our approach is different. I think we get a fewer doublers. This is a more refined remark. I think there are some kind of thinking different here. And of course, we can ask whether we can do the similar approach we did using the mirror fermions, but using the discretized Lagrangian on the space-time, whether we can also provide a non-chiral theory, the anomaly-free chiral theory using this kind of thinking. Actually, I'm not sure. Yeah, this is a refined statement. If you don't understand, it's fine. So I'm done. I skip the chiral gauge theory part because this is just a proposal from Xiaogang, and then maybe read his paper if you want to understand more. And I just comment that this part, I think people in the audience know. I just want to say there are some thinking to relate SPT to gauge anomaly and then intrinsic topological order to gravitational anomaly. And the thinking is just saying that the gravitational anomaly is a more robust kind of anomaly, even if you don't have a gauge symmetry. And topological order, intrinsic topological order, just like this kind of order, more robust than SPT, you have a protected edge states even without symmetry protection. And let me see. Yeah, so I think Xiaogang gave a talk before and then about this work he done on chiral gauge theory. So in the early day, let me see. Yeah, let me just make summary. So we propose this anomaly-free theory defined non-perturbatively, and then we just gap the mirror sector. And then the key message again also reflect the Miles' question is that actually the trivial topological order means no gravitational anomalies, and then trivial SPT no gauge anomaly. Then the case we aim for actually is consider a trivial insulator in the bulk, so free of all anomalies. Yeah. And then we are thinking about to do DMRG to really do this case on the lattice. Okay, so I'm almost done. I think Xiaogang gave a talk that he motivate this a lot of his talk by this way. He's thinking about how to consider the wonders of universe, and he was not here. And then there's a future current progress. He think this chiral gauge covering is kind of a stuff. So he removed this as a challenge right now. Yeah, basically. So Xiaogang is not there, but okay, that's my talk. Thank you.